Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
I have goosebumps. I didn't anticipate that.
I didn't know you're going to start the show that way. On a tough day.
There's a lot of things you don't know. Yeah. Well, it's
to remember.
It is a day, you know, and we should never forget.
Never.
And you know, and it's also, there's a reason that I sit with my back to the wall. There's a reason that you always want to be aware. And after things like that, you never want to forget. You always want to be aware. Just be aware of your surroundings. Not that anything could have stopped that, but you're able to see things that could possibly happen that you could stop.
Well, I mean, at what point does, I mean, it's 18 years since
9/11. Unbelievable.
I mean, at what point does it become a day of recognition and like just a day on a calendar where the emotional side like steps aside, like Pearl Harbor, like
never
other national holidays where we weren't there. We just know it was something important happened, a significance happened.
I don't know if you can make a quote unquote national holiday per se. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of tragedies, you know, and I don't want to make and, you know, being the veteran, the flag, all that stuff is the most important thing to me. But I don't want to say that 9/11 is more important than the Boston bombing. I don't want to say that it's more important than some of these other terrorist attacks that we've had.
Right.
Vegas at the concert, all of that stuff. We should never forget any of that stuff.
Sure.
But
I mean, now 18 years later, some of those kids that were born, you know, and never met their family, their parents.
I read something that I think it was 15, maybe it was 17. 17 young adults will become firemen this month whose parent died on 9/11.
That's pretty incredible.
I don't want to say cool because it's not.
Oh, but it's...
But, you know, it is what it is. And I wanted to start it that way. I mean, whenever you think you're having a bad day, you know, I've had a bad couple days. There's some things medically, whatever. And then you realize it's 9/11. Or 9/11's coming up.
Where were you on 9/11?
I remember it vividly. It's so crazy because it was a Tuesday.
Okay.
At least I'm almost sure it was a Tuesday. And the reason I believe it was a Tuesday, it was trash day.
Okay.
And I remember it was trash day because I told the trash men we just got attacked.
Okay.
And ironically, I'm almost 1,000% positive it was a Tuesday because I didn't go to the Bucks that day, and Tuesday is always the off day, you know, for the players. And one of the players' father-in-law was a handyman.
Okay.
And I've told the story before, and he was at the house working, you know, and I'm paying him by the hour.
Right.
And 3 hours in, I don't want to be a jerk, and I didn't say it, but 3 hours after the attack, we're still watching TV in my living room, and I'm paying him like $35 an hour to watch TV. And I so badly wanted to say, you know, a morning, but either go back to work.
Yeah, give them $105 back.
Or you're off the clock. But, yeah, so I remember watching it. I remember telling the trash guys, and they didn't believe me. And it was a crazy day. It was, you know, right across the restaurant, and I don't live far from the restaurant here, right across the bay from
MacDill.
Well, Tampa base. International Airport, oh, okay. You know, sure. TIA.
Right.
And so we see planes taking off all the time. You know, go outside in the next 5 minutes, three planes are going to either land or take off. And it was just an eerie feeling because there were no planes.
Sure.
And I happened to flip channels the other day, and I don't know who the guy was, but he was like one of President Bush's right-hand people that was with him in Sarasota. And he went to tell him, but before he did, he had everything all lined up. He'd already called the FBI. He'd already called. He'd already got the planes ready. So when he told, or according to this is the story he was telling, when he told the president, I need to speak to you immediately and blah, 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 President Bush starts saying, all right, notify. He goes, I already did. I already did. We're already did. So, yeah, just crazy, you know, just a crazy
thing. There was an eerie feeling. I remember I was on my way to work. I was in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I went and got gas like a hurricane. The lines were crazy. Everybody was afraid there was not going to be any gas. Filled up both my cars. Went home, sat on the couch, and just in disbelief. And like you said, it was so quiet outside. There's no helicopters. There's no morning rush hour. There's no traffic. I mean, it was...
Yeah, nobody was on the street.
It was eerie. It was eerie.
And I think it was because so many people were watching TV, watching what happened, watching, hoping that some good would come out, some people would be found, you know, on and on and on. And I've been back up to the spot a few times, and, sure. And I'm going to go back again next month. Sean and I will go there and walk around, and the new dedication museum, you know, whatever you want to call it, is
the Freedom Tower.
It's a weird, eerie place.
Right.
Because you know what it was, why it was, how it was. But sports kind of helped bring it back. You know, I was watching some things last night and how when it was time and, you know, when Big Poppy went and threw out the first pitch. And by the way, really awful first pitch, David.
Terrible. But he was a first baseman. He just had to catch the ball.
More importantly, he'd been shot or stabbed three times. Yeah. So, you know, he hasn't gotten over that. But I was a little disappointed in the pitch.
The pitch was a little disappointing.
I cannot tell the story, and I really can't watch when David Ortiz does his thing, you know, after the Boston bombing. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No.
And, again, I'm going to make myself out to be, you know.
A bad guy?
No.
Sentimental guy.
Sentimental. Thank you. I was thinking of some words, other words.
Sentimental.
But, you know, when he says what he says and how he says it, and this is our effing city, and you get emotional about that, you know, and you don't want to forget. And I'll forget that whole Boston thing just as much for David Ortiz as I will for the awfulness that we suffered on that day. And today's just another day of remembrance.
Sure.
Another day that... you know, when it's all said and done, and you know, we're not going to stay, you know, sad and stuff, you know, much longer. We have four UFC guests coming up this weekend in Vancouver. But take 9/11, take the Boston bombing, take the ordeal in Las Vegas where Greg Hendrick was working at the time, and remember, the next 10 minutes can be your last.
Sure.
You can walk out on the street, something can happen. I was listening to a radio show, which I normally don't do.
Right.
As I was driving over, and the host was, and I'm not going to say who it was or whatever, and he had somebody on whose younger brother died, who got off work and went back and you know, helped. And the host was saying how, I don't remember much about the story, but there was a fire, and the firemen put the house out, and it was all out, and they started to leave, and three went back in just to check on something, and the house blew up.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it's just, you know, bad things happen all the time.
Sure.
You know, you could literally walk across to that dump across the street and, you know, somebody could do 500 down the, you know, 4th Street and run you over.
Sure.
So, I mean, take every minute, take every, let's don't just remember 9/11, but let's remember all these things that have happened and all the people that it has happened to.
And not that I'm trying to make light of it at all, but I mean, just imagine if we lived in a war-torn country where they deal with that every single day of terrorism and war. And, you know, so we're grateful to live in the country we live in, the the freedoms that we enjoy and the blanket of protection that the first responders and military provide. So, but it's a tough day, and I'm grateful to be here and grateful to live in this country.
And I was grateful when I walked in. You acted like you hadn't seen me in 2 years.
Well, I thought you were on the road. I thought you were traveling. And then did you see the picture I sent you of Independence Day in Brazil?
Well, no, you sent me a picture of Independence Day in Tampa for Brazil.
The same day.
But you acted.
But they're outside of the country.
But you acted like they needed to do more.
Well, I thought you should be there to celebrate.
Well, first, I didn't know that there were food trucks there.
No, there was not. There were just individual booths of food, but it was amazing food.
Well, you didn't give me the invite. You didn't tell me about it.
But the reason I sent you a picture is because I know how you feel about honor and respect for the flag of any nation, not just the U.S. flag, but for every athlete, for every nation, and the way people show up, whether it's the Olympics or whether it's UFC fighting or soccer. And I was shocked.
Hold on a second. What is UFC fighting?
UFC, it's my favorite sport. It's the combat guys.
UFC fighting.
Yes, UFC fighting. It's a new division. Would you like to be my co-host?
I'm trying to think of if that's what it really is called, UFC fighting. That's it's it. Really not.
Oh, no, I love UFC fighting. It's my favorite.
Well, I know you train UFC.
I do train UFC. You know, so and KFC. I'm very good at but I was shocked to see the Brazilian flag taped to a porta potty to celebrate the Independence Day. So I almost took it off, but I was like, you know, it's Randy's fight. I'll let him handle that war.
Oh. Again, I think that...
would you have taken it down if you walked by and saw a flag taped to a porta potty at a festival?
Oh. I don't know. Well, first, I wouldn't have taken it. I wouldn't have taken the Brazilian flag down.
But if it was an American flag and you walked by and you saw an American flag taped to a porta potty?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. But my neighbor has flown the flags for as long as he's lived in that house.
Okay.
And before I got to know him, I don't think I've done it much since I've gotten to know him and his family and the kids and stuff, but I used to walk by daily and fix his flag.
What was wrong with it?
Well, you know, it would get all tangled up. Okay. I remember I also called,
cause they can't get wet, right? They're not allowed to be in the rain.
Well, no, it's not supposed to be out at night. You know, it's supposed to be, lit, or taken down.
Okay.
But this would get all tangled up.
Sure.
You know, so I would always go fix it. And there was one place where I called and I reamed him out. I'm like, can you do something with that? How disrespectful you are with that flag? And they're like, oh, well, what do you want me to do with it? I go, I don't know, maybe take it down and burn it.
Oh.
You know, take it to the VFW and have them burn it. Okay. There's holes in it. You should treat...
But
your flag.
You see those viral videos of like somebody doing an anti-America protest or a flag burning or something where you see like a Marine run into like enemy territory literally and grab it and fold it and take it with them. You know, like have you ever done anything like that? Have you ever done anything to see someone that's disrespecting it? And because those things go viral, man. I mean,
yeah.
those things people.
I mean, I have.
When it comes to patriotism and hero. Yeah. How you doing, brother?
All right. Let's welcome our first guest as we get ready for this weekend up at the UFC up in Canada, up in Vancouver. And welcome Misha Serkinov. Misha, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me, guys.
I definitely appreciate your time. What's it like in Vancouver right now? How chilly is it? What's the weather like? How are you preparing for Saturday?
It's actually nice. You know, I thought it was going to be a little bit colder, but it's nice, fresh air, good weather, you know, good food here, amazing sushi. Feels like, you know, really nice and clean, beautiful, like nice city. I like Vancouver.
I always ask the athletes when they come on, it's a work trip. The most important thing is obviously Saturday, your fight, your career. A fine line between work trip and getting out a little bit, going and enjoying a beautiful city. And I've seen some of the places that you fought. Do you get to go out at all and see any of this city, or is it work, go to the gym, go lay down in the room?
You know, it's kind of like a little bit of both. You know, walk around in the beginning of the day, get some food, you know, walk around, see some stuff. You know, then, you know, do the obligations, whatever you have to do.
And then whenever you have free time, you know, get some fresh air, maybe get like light snacks somewhere, you know, walk around a little bit. You know, it's good. It's good to walk around, get the blood going.
With this being fight week, do you try to think about Saturday? Do you try to think about your opponent? We're going to talk about Jimmy here in a second. Or do you try to block it out? Do you try to not think about, you know, the task at hand, Saturday night's fight, until, you know, later in the week or even Saturday?
I mean, you can think about it all you want, you know, but it's better just to not think about it and just, you know, deal with it on Saturday. Because you can just burn your like nerves, you know. You don't need to do that. You can just relax, just like any other day. And then when it comes to Saturday, it's the same thing as I do pretty much every other day in training. Just it's going to be like harder sparring, you know. We're just going to try to finish each other. That's all, you know. Other than that, it's something that I do all the time. And I'm just looking forward for a good performance. I did a really strong, heavy training camp the whole summer. And right now, I feel really, really good about myself. And, it should be a good night.
Eve Edwards told me back in the day that fight day is your reward for all the hard work you've put in leading up to it. Is that the way you look at it as well?
100%. You know, it's a lot of people don't see, but, you know, preparation for the fight, you go through blood, sweat, and tears. You know, you train all the time. You get all the injuries. You know, you overtrain, you get sick, you try to get better, you try to go back at it. You know, nobody sees that, you know. So it's a long journey. So when it comes to fight day, you know, if you have no injuries and you feel great, then it's going to be like a rewarding night, you know, because you're planning on winning and you're planning on getting paid. So that's like double wins, you know.
Absolutely. This will be your 9th UFC fight, I believe your 20th pro fight. How has the fight game changed for you over the last nine and a half years?
It's just, you know, it's never kind of like never-ending game. It's like always, you always have to get better. You always have to learn a new trick. You always have to, it's like never-ending game, you know. Never-ending game with the skill. It's never-ending game with the conditioning, with the power, with mental strength, like with everything. I think this is like the mixed martial arts is definitely the hardest test on the human physicality and mentality all combined in one. You know, it's just like this. I don't know any other sport that brings that kind of intensity on those levels. Like I said, like physicality, mentality, all that stuff.
I totally agree with you. What can you tell us about your opponent, Jimmy Crute, other than the obvious that he's undefeated?
Yeah, you know, he's young. He's a young guy. You know, he's a heavy hitter, fast hands. You know, he's a tough opponent. But, you know, it's UFC. Like every fighter, everyone is tough. You know, UFC, they don't hire somebody who's not tough, you know. So now, you know, now we have a fight. It's going to be a good fight.
There's a reason that you're a UFC fighter and I'm not. It was supposed to be a little funny. Come on.
it just takes time. Anything you put yourself into, eventually, over some time, if you commit to it, you know, you can reach certain goals. You know, there's no goal that's unreachable.
What do you enjoy about being a professional fighter, and what do you dislike about it?
What I enjoy that I'm my own boss. I don't have anyone telling me kind of like what to do, you know. People give you advices, but at the end of the day, you make your own judges and opinions. So it's kind of like you're in control of your destiny, which is really, really cool. And you can create your own schedule. And, you know, you can fight when you want. So it's kind of like everything in your hands. What I don't like is just maybe weight cut. I don't really like to cut weight. I don't like to, you know, cut all the nutrients out of my body, because then you get a little bit agitated and sometimes get a little bit angry, you know. So the weight cuts, I'm not really a big fan of. But other than it's not too bad.
You must be a super guy if it's only sometimes you get aggravated during weight cuts.
You know, it depends. Sometimes you try to get you get aggravated, but you try to relax at the same time, because once you're aggravated, you're not being yourself. So you want to be yourself as much as you possibly can. So, but when you cut the weight, it's very hard to control, because basically almost a chemical balance changes, you know, because you're not getting enough nutrition. Your body goes a little bit in starvation mode, goes into that survival instincts. Everything gets more agitated. So it's something that you can't really control, really. But yeah, that's the only thing that I kind of like, not crazy big fan of.
Talk to us for a second about the fight on ESPN Saturday night. What should we expect to see in this fight?
Definitely it's going to be, we're not going to, like, me personally, I'm not going to be looking to go to decision. I'm going to try to definitely stop the guy. And he's kind of like fights the same. He throws hard, you know, he has knockouts. He stops the guys too. So it's going to be definitely exciting fight for the fans to watch, because it's not going to be a boring fight. We're going to actually go there and look to finish each other. So it's going to be really exciting for the fans and for anyone who's watching it.
It's definitely going to be a barn burner, and we're looking forward to it. Misha, thank you very much for your time. We're going to put you on hold real quick so we can get your address and send you out a care package from Ape Man Strong for coming on and giving us a couple minutes of your time.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. And it's going to be a good fight, Matt.
It's going to be a great fight.
Undefeated. You always want to take that zero away. You know, I did a little research, and I normally don't do it, on Misha and the Toronto background. And I didn't get confirmation, which is why I haven't said it yet. And hopefully he's not on hold so he doesn't hear this. But I've reached out to Jason Rosso, because anybody who's in the Toronto area, we always send to his restaurant.
Oh, okay.
As a thank you for coming on. But Jason hasn't said yes yet. So we might be able to notify Misha either before the fight or after the fight. Really, probably after. Because you don't want to talk food.
Sure.
You know, and that's why that was something that I'm going to bring up with Uriah Hall when he comes on. Because, you know, he's from Queens. Well, he lives in Queens. He's not from Queens. So I'm going to ask him some places that I need to hit when I go to New York.
What about we? This is I stuff.
We're not French.
Oh, well. Well, you should be if you're from Canada. But mostly they speak French.
But I don't.
Our northern friends to the north.
And I should have gone to this in Vancouver. I really should have.
Yeah.
I really could have, too. The problem is, and, you know, I've tried to discuss this with my wife as well, that Wednesday gets in the way.
Okay.
Okay, of me going a lot of times, because it's so expensive to go on Wednesday. The show used to be on Thursday. It was perfect.
Right.
Friday, it was even better. The problem is we couldn't get the athletes on.
Right.
So it's always cool to do the Wednesdays. And it doesn't make sense to me to go to any of these fights on Thursday or Friday. Got to go on Wednesday.
Sure.
Because then I'm in the UFC media room.
Fly out
Tuesday night. And by the way, I've replaced you already.
Already?
I'm sure you saw it.
For what?
Well, you better hope that Alon Cruz doesn't do a very good job.
Why?
Because Alon is going to sit in your chair the week that you're in Italy.
Oh, what?
And if he does a rock and roll job.
No way.
Just saying.
How can he replace me? I just put an application for the best Harris ever. I'm joining the family.
Well, yeah, your name has to be Harris first.
Well, it will be.
No.
I'm moving up, buddy.
So Alon's going to sit in, and we're going to do it from the UFC media room.
Because there's a hole. There's a vacant spot in the Harris family tree now.
Why?
Well, Kylie Rae Harris, the country star, died last week. She was drunk, and I guess she killed her teen friend or whatever. Did you hear about that?
No.
So there's a spot in the Harris. And look, speaking of Vancouver, you know who Jillian Harris is?
No.
Jillian Harris was on the 2009 Bachelorette. She is from Vancouver. So if you want to go to Vancouver, I'd love to meet my new future wife.
Or sister.
Not. Oh, yeah, that would be weird. All right, I'm out of the tree. I want out. Let me out. Somebody give me a contract. I'm out of the Harris family circle.
All right, I know we're a couple minutes over, so let's hit this break. When we come back, more shenanigans. I know you have a game. There's some football I want to talk about. The Antonio Brown thing we got to talk about. The Bucks versus Panthers tomorrow we got to talk about. A lot of things to get to, and we'll get to very few of them, starting with when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Sergeant. Well, I took a walk
around the world to ease my troubled mind. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Mike Evans with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered,
face demons real or in their heads and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
UFC heads back to Tampa on Saturday, October 12th with Joanna Jędrzejczyk facing Michelle Waterson. See UFC Fight Night at Amalie Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
At Culver's, we cook our butter burgers pretty much the same as you would at home. Only the freshest Midwest beef will do. We're talking the highest quality three-cut blend. No shortcuts. Got it? Great. Then you'll need to master our signature press and sear technique. This is crucial. You may want to practice a few thousand times. Add real Wisconsin cheese, because why would you have cheese from anywhere else? Top with a lightly buttered toasted bun. Serve yourself with a big warm smile.
Better yet, come to Culver's and leave the whole cook-to-order butter burger thing to us. Welcome to Delicious.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
The Monday Night Players Show returns to the press box in Tampa for the 19th consecutive year from 7 to 8 p.m. during the football season, where we feature a different player every week. Please join us for the hour, ask a question or two, maybe get a photo or autograph, and enjoy the awesome press box food. That's the Monday Night Players Show from the press box, located at 222 South Del Mabry in Tampa, every Monday night, 7 to 8.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
All righty, guys. Live from Port the Pizza, the 88th Avenue and 4th Street here in St. Pete. Sad news, at least for me. Wow. I mean, not death news, but sad news. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers released one of my closest friends.
Oh,
you know, on the team, Caleb Benenat.
No.
On Monday.
You mean I lost a customer and you lost a friend?
Yeah. It's the business.
At least his name and his quote still enshrined on the wall here.
You know, it's.
He'll always be part of the Tour de Pizza family.
It's not funny, but it's kind of funny. And I brought it up with Alex and Alex Kappa. And I said, you know, I thought of this last night. You know, when it happened, because it happened Monday, and then we didn't go into the locker room until, you know, later, because they worked late. Monday.
Sure. And they had to get probably an extra hour of being chewed out by the coaching staff.
Hopefully.
For their terrible performance on Sunday.
You know, again, it is what it is. But I asked Alex Kappa, and we kind of looked at each other when I first walked in, and what do you say? You know, and I said, you know, I thought of this last night, that being on a team – in any sport, but, you know, since we're talking football, you know, with the Bucs in the NFL, whatever, being on a team is kind of like being on Survivor.
Okay.
Or being on Big Brother.
Bachelorette, like Julian Harris.
Because you're family, but you're not family.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. You're tight, but how tight?
Right.
You're friends, but you're trying to take each other's job.
Sure.
You know, Alex took over the starting position of Caleb's, and they were good friends.
Sure.
You know, just the dynamic of how that whole thing works. So I'm talking to some of the guys, and the Bucs just recently signed a new offensive lineman.
Okay.
And, you know, I just had a feeling, you know, there was a lot of talk during training camp, now that Caleb is not the starter anymore. And, you know, so I kind of thought this is not good. So Alex introduces me to the new offensive lineman. And another player walks over, and says, yeah, this is the guy that got Leonard and Caleb released.
Oh, to you?
To me.
What?
That's how he introduced me to him.
Those guys are like 300-pound monsters. You don't want them mad at you, Andy.
But it wasn't.
They blaming you for his release?
No, and it's funny because that's the same thing Sean thought. The player said the player who they just signed was in Jacksonville.
Okay.
And they, I guess, kept him and released Leonard Webster. Wester, you know, who was, you know, a friend and with the Bucks, whatever. And then they signed him, and then they let Caleb go. So they were telling me that that player was the player that got Leonard.
And, I thought you were the one they were blaming. Like, oh, Randy is like the kiss of death. Like, if he becomes a friend with you, you get released.
Yeah, well.
That's what happened to me. That's why I became a free agent, and now I joined this show.
And possibly will again. You know.
It's always a possibility.
So it's just the dynamic of that whole thing. It's they're tight. They go out to dinner every week. They're friends. But ultimately, it's your family.
Is that why you're friends with all the linemen? You're like the buffet king?
I've never gone out. We were supposed to go out last year.
Because you're a buffet guy. They're buffet guys.
I'm going to an all-you-can-eat sushi place in Charlotte tomorrow.
Not surprised.
My sister sent me photos, and it's one that's similar to one in Atlanta, where it's on a conveyor belt.
Oh,
and you just, like, pick stuff off.
I like to eat at sushi places where I eat off of a naked woman.
Somebody, shut up.
Oh, those are nice.
You're.
But they don't move. They don't come around to you.
the show was going fairly well, and then you had this.
You've never seen those before?
No, I've never seen you. All right, so last Saturday, interesting. I loved the fact that even though it cost me an $800 plane voucher because I didn't want to go to this meeting that I had because I wanted to stay and watch the Khabib fight.
Okay.
Did you watch any of the fights?
I watched the Felder fight, the Barbosa fight.
Give me your thoughts on the Felder fight.
It goes back to my desire. I looked it up. Everlast, the boxing company that make gloves and headgear and et cetera, they actually have a wrist wrap where you, as a monitor, and it can control like your hand speed and your impact, your punches. I think it's a classic example of that fight could have gone either way. I thought both guys did an equal job. The judges could have gone either way. There wasn't really a big upset. I know Barbosa thought it was upsetting because he thought he won. But I think it's just hard to control, like to tell who won that fight. I think if you had like a sensor and you know how many punches actually landed and what impact they had, it would be easier to score that fight. But I'm okay with Felder winning. He did a good job. I think Barbosa won. He did a good job. So I was okay with it.
The thing that I have the biggest problem with is the 30-27s on both sides. How can the two judges be totally...
Right.
I mean, one round I could be okay with. Two rounds, maybe. Now, I didn't watch it as close as I should have. And I always say that I don't like to say who won, who I thought won.
Unless you know.
Unless I watch all 5 minutes of it.
Sure.
Kind of watching, I had Barbosa winning 29-28.
I thought he won. I thought Barbosa won.
Now, with it being 29-28, the great Derek Kukulich, much better co-host than you. He was fantastic. He brought things to the table every week, not just the first week you did the show.
I brought a Mountain Dew and I brought hardcore energy.
You did bring a Diet Coke.
I brought drinks to the table today.
What he always would tell me is that he hated when people say he got robbed. And then he would say, so who do you think? Well, I thought Barbosa won 29-28. And he won 29-28. So how much of a robbery is that?
Yeah, I don't think it's a robbery. I just think that, you know, Felder's your commentator and a company man.
Means nothing.
It means something.
It means nothing.
I bet it meant the victory.
I think you're a knucklehead.
He's
good. What does that mean?
If it's a tie, if the coin top flip for the thing, you don't think a company man, a guy that's putting in his dues and doing the commentating and added value to the company?
Zero.
Is it going to get the nod?
Zero. You think those three judges care?
There's favoritism in everything.
I understand that.
Everything.
I understand that,
Chief. This network.
On this show. That's why this could be your last night. I understand that. But the three judges don't care. They don't work for the UFC. Now, there are times that the UFC picks the judges.
Right.
You know, if they don't have a sanctioning body or, you know, whatever. But the judges really don't care. I understand favoritism. I mean, I get it. I'm a judge. I try to block out everything and anything, and that's why I don't put amateur fighters on, and you know, because I don't want any of that stuff. But no, the judges, I do not believe And you will never convince me to believe that a judge cares who wins.
Okay. Well, I'm just giving you a conspiracy theory.
So, and even more so, I don't think a judge is going to say, well, I'm judging for the UFC. I know that he commentates. I know that he does.
I'm going to see him again, so I better be nice to him.
But you don't think they're going to see Barbosa again?
Yeah, but you know he's not on the network. He's not commentating. He's not going to be around at every fight.
But what does that have to do with the judges?
I don't know. I just think there's I think Felder got a little bit of a grace. Like I thought Barbosa won. In my opinion, I thought he won.
I did too. 29.
So this is my 9/11 conspiracy theory. I think that Felder got favoritism.
What's the 9/11 conspiracy? That it never really happened?
Felder got a little bit of favoritism. Like, and I'm okay with it because Barbosa didn't do enough to convince everyone that he actually won. Because I was okay with whatever the verdict was, I was okay with it. It wasn't like O.J. Simpson where there's like...
But are you okay with 2 30-27s?
No.
That's what I'm
talking about. 28-29, 29-28. 28-28. I mean, I was okay with a split. I was okay with a draw, just like the Kansas City Chiefs tying the first week of
not quite a draw.
Or no, Kyler Murray. That's Arizona tied.
No, not quite a draw, but talk about the no contest of the Ryan Bader fight and Chuck Conley.
Well, I think it goes to how the sport has evolved. It's amazing that a true mixed martial artist and an athlete, they have to train everything, including 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a Ryan Bader thumb war. So, you know, like, let's get it on, Randy Harris. Let's see who wins. Like,
now, have you seen the video?
I have seen some.
Okay, the video that Ryan Bader posted.
Sort of
and
in
again,
the nose.
Anybody who's ever listened to this show, they know that, you know, I'm friends with
That's
Bader.
Your boy.
I don't know about my boy, but
if he was fighting and you were the judge, you wouldn't give him a favoritism?
No.
A little Paul Felder nudge?
No, I would not.
Little 9/11 conspiracy.
I would not.
Okay.
You know, and I've judged people that I've known. Well,
you have different loyalty. Your standards are higher than most.
Well, I wouldn't be able to. I mean, there's a lot of crappy things I do. I mean, I'm not, you know, an angel.
Like leaving the arena before the final judge is called. Don't you turn in your scorecard before then actually raise the hand?
Yes.
So if there's a tie or anything or they have to go back and recount, you're gone.
Well, I have nothing to do with that. But yeah, when I judge for a world-class fight leg, as soon as I turn my ticket in, I'm gone. It doesn't matter to me.
Just to beat traffic and get home.
Yeah, to beat people and get the heck out of there. And there was one time, and I think we talked about it on the show, that I went and I texted somebody. Matter of fact, he was the ref. And I said, who won? Oh, you know, because I really don't care.
That's classic.
I truly don't care. But in this case, I knew it was close. So I was curious. Don't kid yourself. When you hear we have a split decision, you know, as a judge, I'm like, well, I hope I'm on the right side.
Right.
I stand by what I judged and how I judged and who I thought won. But you still want to be, you know, on the right side, not the left side, or the left side, not the right side, whichever side you're talking about. But one time I did is I was on Howard Frank, and I'm like, I wonder who won. Hey, man, who won? And there was one time when they stopped the fight. Okay? So the fight stopped. I turned the card in, and I ran out.
Right.
Ran to the car, bolted out, and I'm like, I hope they really stopped it.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine if I
resumed it? Well, the one way to stop that from happening is do what Khabib did and not let it get to the judge's hands.
Sure.
and submit Dustin Poirier and put him out in the third round.
Thoughts on that fight? Is he not a monster?
He's a monster. I mean, he's a monster. Poirier did exactly what I thought he was going to do. That remember I told you about that vision I had where he was going to hit him with this like weird uppercut?
Sledgehammer?
Like, he did. In the second round, he hit him with that exact shot. The only thing I didn't see in my vision when I was sleeping was that Khabib didn't fall down. Like, anyway, he hit him with the shot,
yep.
But Khabib withstood it. He showed his toughness of his jaw, his chin.
Am I crazy to think that Tony Ferguson has a legitimate shot?
Tony's a monster, and he will beat Khabib.
I think he will.
He will dominate Khabib.
I don't know about dominate.
Dominate.
But I think he will.
I think Tony comes with different angles. And if you look at the history of Ferguson's fights, he just beats people up. There's some fighters, when they get in a fight, no matter what they do, they at the post-interview or the press conference, they look like they haven't even had a fight.
Right.
Like, Tony's opponents always look like they've had a fight. They always are beat up. I think Khabib loses to first.
We're going to hit a break, and when we come back, I want to address Khabib and Dustin Poirier, the fight, what happened after the fight, yep. how they both handled the fight, some things that were said. We're going to talk about that when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Franco Harris with Randy Harris on Knockout Radio.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
UFC heads back to Tampa on Saturday, October 12th, with Joanna Jędrzejczyk facing Michelle Waterson. See UFC Fight Night at Amalie Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
At Culver's, we cook our butter burgers pretty much the same as you would at home. Only the freshest Midwest beef will do. We're talking the highest quality three-cut blend. No shortcuts. Got it? Great. Then you'll need to master our signature press and sear technique. This is crucial. You may want to practice a few thousand times. Add real Wisconsin cheese, because why would you have cheese from anywhere else? Top with a lightly buttered toasted bun. Serve yourself with a big warm smile.
Better yet, come to Culver's and leave the whole cook-to-order butter burger thing to us. Welcome to Delicious.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
The Monday Night Players Show returns to the Press Box in Tampa for the 19th consecutive year from 7 to 8 p.m. during the football season, where we feature a different player every week. Please join us for the hour, ask a question or two, maybe get a photo or autograph, and enjoy the awesome Press Box food. That's the Monday Night Players Show from the Press Box, located at 222 South Del Mabry in Tampa, every Monday night, 7 to 8.
Hey, this is Deontay the Bronze Bomber Wilder, WBC Heavyweight Champion of the World, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. Bam, baby. Good night.
Okay, we are back at you live from 4th Street and 88th Avenue here in St. Pete. Real quick, Uriah's on hold, so I want to get right to him.
Sure.
Monday night, we're going to be giving away UFC tickets for UFC Tampa, bare knuckle tickets for when they come to Tampa, and I just confirmed we're going to give away tickets to the Tampa Bay Food Fight.
Oh, what?
Which is coming back up. So we'll talk about that next hour. Right now, let's go back to Vancouver and welcome to the program, Uriah Hall. Uriah, how are you?
What's up, man?
Appreciate your time. I can't believe that it's been, what, just over 6 years since your time in The Ultimate Fighter. Does it seem like 6 years, or does it seem like a lot sooner?
It's actually seven, but no, it's cool. It's just true. I don't know, man. It's just another day for me. It's a hard question to answer for athletes.
Before we get into your fight, I know that you live in Queens. Today's 9/11. I know you were a teenager, but what do you remember of that day?
I don't really remember much. I just came to the country, and I just remember a couple of kids freaking out in school. And teacher was like, all right, you guys got to go home. And
I remember bridges were blocked and stuff. I didn't understand stuff. And at one point, I remember being the only one standing in the train, just waiting for the train, and there was no train. And I think I had to walk.
Wow.
So I don't remember much of that.
I know it's, what, September, so 9 months into the relationship with ESPN. Has that sunk in yet? You know, everybody's goal, you watch ESPN growing up as a kid. Now, you know, the full promotion, ESPN's now involved with UFC. Has that sunk in, and what does that mean to have ESPN involved?
Honestly, I don't really watch ESPN. I mean, it's just something I never really focused on. But, you know, the sports changed a lot. We went from FX to Fox Sports 1 to now ESPN. So I'm sure that's a big deal growth-wise, but it's not even a big deal to me.
What is a big deal for you is the fight on Saturday night. So what can you tell us about Antonio Carlos Jr.?
Well, Antonio Carlos Jr. is the homie. And it's a part of the business. You know, it's business. It sucks. Sometimes you got to fight people you know, but it's a part of the game. So it's about whoever goes out there and poses, you know, the will first and just entertain the folks and just get the W.
How difficult is that? And I always say this when somebody says that to me about the fight game, and I've covered MMA long, long time. My older brother and I got in a fight when I was 18, and I still don't like him. So how difficult is it to fight somebody that you know or somebody that you possibly even like? You know, go in there, do what you have to do. It is your job. And then you can, you know, whatever happens, it's over, and you can go back to the relationship. How difficult is that?
Well, it depends on what's on the line, you know. So I think for both of us, we're trying to get to the top, so we can put those emotions aside and just get after it. Kelvin and I are – Kelvin's like one of my best friends. I potentially could fight him one day, and that's not a problem for either of us. You know, it's business.
Okay. What should we expect to see on Saturday night?
Honestly, man, I'm just ready to have some fun. I can't really answer that question. I'm not in the future, bro. I'm here right now. I'm training, cutting weight. I'm focused. So that's all I got.
What's the strangest or funniest thing that's happened in the middle of a fight with you or for you?
You mean in while the fight is happening?
Yeah, in the middle of the fight. And the reason I'm asking is I don't remember the fighter I asked, and I asked that question, and he said he was fighting Dennis Seaver, who's German, and the corner starts talking to Dennis in German, and he said for like 9 seconds, I'm watching the movie. What's the movie?
Inglourious Basterds.
And it's like he said I had to like knock myself out of it. I'm in the middle of a fight, and I'm watching a movie in my brain. Has anything crazy like that happened to you in the middle of a fight?
No, I mean, everyone goes through their own emotions. I've had fights where I was there. I've had fights where I was not there. And it's just, you can't let those emotions eat you. There's so many emotions going into a live combative state where your job is to potentially kill someone and have people cheering for you. It's the scariest shit ever. And not a lot of people understand that. And unless you walk that path, me or anyone could explain it to you guys and you'll never get it. You got to actually do it yourself. But it's one of the most exhilarating feeling. It's the scariest feeling, and it's one of the most welcoming feeling ever. It's all these emotions just mixed, and you have to just pick and choose which one you think is going to help you. But to be honest, they don't really help.
Interesting. And once the fight's over, can you get off of all of that and move on, or does it take time to get all of those emotions out?
Everyone's different, man. Sometimes it takes me a while. Sometimes I'm in that, you know, who's next, what's happening. So I think it's how you train that mind to just let go of that moment of, again, trying to hurt someone, like really bad. I mean, my job is to hurt someone. I don't potentially like to hurt people. I'm just really good at it. But for me, I'm just stepping outside my comfort zone to do it.
Well, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun from our side to watch it. Hopefully it's going to be as much fun for you to be in this fight on Saturday night. We're going to put you on hold for a second so we can get your address so we can send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for giving us a couple minutes of your time.
Cool.
Appreciate your time. Thank you very much. That's Saturday night. Today's Wednesday. It's going to be here before you know it.
It is. A couple days away.
It's a great card. You know, we haven't even talked about the main event yet.
I haven't got to it.
You know, and I was in the Bucks locker room yesterday, and I was talking to the guys. And, you know, they always ask me, who do you like? Who are you picking? And I never like to pick. Matter of fact, Alex and I are against each other. We actually made a bet on an upcoming fight.
You and Alex?
Kappa.
Really?
Yeah. Over dinner.
Okay.
So I said, here's the deal. If I win, we're going to go to a really nice steakhouse. If you win, I'll take you to Sonny's. Right. Right?
Sonny's, yeah.
You know, but they've asked me.
This is good.
Sonny's is awesome.
Not bad.
It's awesome. It's all you can eat.
Not like sweet tomato or whatever. I mean,
Sean loves that place.
Does he really?
Yeah, he does.
Does anybody love that place?
I've been there once.
Yeah, it's,
you know, not
all you need to be.
But what I was getting at is when I can't really pick who I think is going to win, and whether they win or not is an entirely another story. You know, I'm not saying that I'm going to pick the right winner.
Right.
But if I can, yes, Justin Gaethje is going to win this fight.
Against Cerrone? I don't
know. No. What I'm saying is if I can do that, I'm not as excited to watch that fight as I am Donald Cerrone, Justin Gaethje, because I don't know.
I mean, I think Gaethje wins this fight, right?
I'm leaning Gaethje.
He's younger. Like Cerrone took didn't he take a beating last fight?
The thing about Donald is...
Did he fight Kenta and get beat up pretty good? Which fight did he lose? He lost one just recently.
I don't remember
your
name. But
he's fought like four times in the last year. Cerrone started in Denver at the 25th anniversary, and then he... Like, why is that guy fighting so often? I mean, he's 40-something. I mean, he's... Right? Most fights in UFC history or something like that?
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, like, I could get it if you're a young guy, you want to fight four times a year, five times a year. But, I mean, at that age.
All right, one more time. Monday night will be our first player show. We didn't do the show this week because the Bucks stayed late. They didn't get out of there until 7:30. We're going to register you for UFC tickets coming to the Tampa Bay area October 12th. You're going to register for Bare Knuckle FC fights that are coming on the 19th. And then October 1, your Tampa Bay food fight at the Coliseum in St. Pete. Have you ever been to that?
Yes, I went with you last year.
That was at Emeryworks, right?
At Emeryworks. And the host of the event was your boy Titus O'Neil. Yeah. Titus Worldwide.
He will be the host again this year. And we're going to give away tickets. And then I'm also working on, when I saw that an acquaintance... You know, I'm really careful who's an acquaintance and who's a friend. An acquaintance of mine, James Otto, is coming to Tampa to perform. And it's one of my favorite stories of all time.
Really?
So what happened was at the Make-A-Wish event we do with Kevin Carter, you can compensate the buckets. It's like beach buckets that sit on every table. And so if a celebrity goes by... You ask for an autograph, you're supposed to throw money in the bucket.
Okay.
If a celebrity walks by and you want to take a photo, you're supposed to throw money in the bucket.
Okay.
If you want an artist to sing, you're supposed to throw money in the bucket. So one of these tables said, I want James Otto to sing a song. You know, which was, I believe, a number one song.
Okay.
I mean, it's an awesome song. So I go over to James Otto and I'm like, James, this table wants to throw money into the pot for you to come sing a song. How much should I ask for? And he gave me a number that was... extremely low.
Okay.
And I said, nah, I'm going to ask for a whole lot more. I went over, I asked for what it was. They said, sure. James Otto came over and started to sing and forgot words to a song.
Oh, no.
And it was really pretty funny because then Kevin's like, you know what? I'm going to, and he paid a whole lot more money to have James then come up on stage and re-sing it.
With the right words?
With the right words.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, man. That's terrible.
No, you know, it's just, you know, you're doing things, you're thinking things. You know, I just said a movie instead of a fight. You know, just things come out wrong, you know. And you kind of wonder, you know, I put a video up of Robin Zander on my Book of Face earlier.
Your boy from Safety Harbor.
Yep, from Safety Harbor, who was doing a performance with, is it Joe Perry? Is that the guitarist from Aerosmith?
I think Joe, that's his name. Or Steve. Or...
No, Steve Perry was with Journey.
William Perry, the refrigerator.
The refrigerator, which is Mike Ditka's biggest... boo-boo that he's ever done. He has said that. Having William, the refrigerator Perry, score a touchdown in the Super Bowl without giving the ball to Walter Payton, and then Payton never scored. You know, he always said that he thought Payton would score later, and he said that was his biggest regret was that he had Perry do that, and then Sweetness never got into
the offense.
So it has stuck with them, you know, that old time.
I didn't know that. I didn't know Peyton never scored in the Super Bowl.
Yep. All right, coming up in the second hour, Jimmy Crute coming up, Lewis Smolka coming up. Who knows? Matt might even bring something to the table. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone. Let me tell you now.
I took her home. Radio for the Sunshine State.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
The Monday Night Players Show returns to the press box in Tampa for the 19th consecutive year from 7 to 8 p.m. during the football season, where we feature a different player every week. Please join us for the hour, ask a question or two, maybe get a photo or autograph, and enjoy the awesome press box food. That's the Monday Night Players Show from the press box, located at 222 South Del Mabry in Tampa, every Monday night, 7 to 8.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.